number 72. 72.
Oh,
everybody. Good to be back in the Lord's house. Good to see each and every one that has come here today. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day outside, and just I've been aggravating a few people that today about getting the memo of wearing green. Everything's turning green outside, and it's just a beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with, and it's just in accordance with His Word that until the end of times that there's going to be different seasons, and that the seasons it's going to change, and this another season is approaching us, a spring, and all the flowers are blooming, and the grass is coming out green, and the trees are budding out green, and so it's just another, in my opinion, just another proof of the truth of God's Word, and the truth that we serve a God that's in control of this world and everything that goes on in it. So it's a good day. Good day to me. I have several things that I want to mention this morning. Seems there are several situations that has arisen and things that's come up that I want to mention this morning. And I have a list almost. I was speaking with Brother Vanderpool last night. I've been asked to do a wedding on the fifth Sunday of, I guess it's May. And I was going to get Brother Vanderpool to come and fill the pulpit for me. And I believed everybody would enjoy hearing him. But it seems, as I was talking to him last night, that his health has given way to the point that he's not even taking any appointments right now. So along those lines, I would ask that if someone has someone on their heart that they would like to fill the pulpit for that Sunday, that I'll not be able to be here, by all means let me know, and we'll go from there. But also please be in prayer for Brother Vanderpool and his wife as they've grown older, and their service to the Lord is nearing the end. And pray that God would just give them grace and strength in their last days. And we all need that. We all need that. But it just truly touched me last night when I was speaking with him. But another thing, Brother Jeff Brown, most of you know him, is going to be going to Chicago for cancer treatments. He's going to be gone for, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks taking cancer treatments. And so he would desire an interest in our prayers. And also, Brother Galloway contacted me yesterday, and he needs our prayers. He's in Vanderbilt right now, so he also needs our prayers. This week is the week of All Union Minister School. There'll be ministers from all around the country that will be gathered there this week, and they'll be teaching and preaching, and just a good time in the Lord to be had for all those ministers and their wives that'll be there. And I'd ask the church that y'all pray for that effort and the teaching and the preaching that goes on, and the watch care over each one. Also, I've tried to contact Brother Roger Carter. He's the one that usually tries to set up the appointments for the missionaries from Africa that come to the Old Union Minister School, and I've tried to get in contact with him to maybe set up an appointment with one of the missionaries to come over here and preach for us while they're in. They're going to be in for about a month until about the middle of April, so I don't know if that'll work out or not, but I've tried to set up something along those lines also.
I've been asked this week to help in myself and Brother Jeremy Siss is going to be assisting in Harvest's Missionary Baptist revival that's coming up in April the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. So y'all be in prayer about that and that effort that there'd be lost souls saved. And I guess, Brother Terry, this is what I was talking about as far as having our calendar up. I had a whole list of stuff that's come out this day that I wanted to share with everybody. And also, I was told that Grace Missionary Baptist Church is going to be having starting a revival this coming Friday. Brother Bryson's going to be there preaching Friday night, and there's going to be some different speakers throughout the weekend, but Brother Bryson, I was told, is going to be preaching there Friday night. So for anyone that would like to go to Hendersonville and hear Brother Bryson, be a good opportunity to see him and speak with him. And I think that's about all of my list, but it's a lot of stuff. You know, there's a lot of stuff. There's plenty to be prayerful about. We don't have to look and to search and wonder about what we need to pray about. There's a list of things that I've just given you, and not to mention probably in your own lives and situations and families and circumstances that we need to pray about, and we need to ask the Lord to intervene on and just to watch over. And there may be someone this morning. I'll hush now and give everybody else an opportunity to speak. If maybe someone else this morning has something on their heart, something that they would like to mention, bring before the church before we go to the Lord in prayer. I did. Let's remember Brother Moran. Brother Moran's wife passed away last week. And I did not find out about it until after the fact. But let's keep him and the family in our prayers.
Brother Arnold, our grandson is back from Afghanistan, back in Hawaii.
Appreciate that praise this morning. I truly believe the prayers of God's people help. They have an effect. Someone else this morning.
Joyce has it in the bulletin, but Keith Carter's youngest daughter has leukemia. And she's on a Caring Bridge site. If anybody wants to keep up with her, you can go to Caring Bridge and find out about her.
All right. Let's remember her. I remember him growing up. And I knew him growing up, but I don't think I've ever met his daughter. Let's remember her. Anyone else this morning? Good to hear that. Continue to remember her as she heals. Anyone else this morning?
Hello, I remember Brother Leon White. He had bladder cancer, if I understand, facing surgery and treatment, so I'm sure he'd be interested in this church.
Let's remember Brother White this morning. It's a blessed opportunity, a blessing to have our health, to be able to come and gather together this morning. It truly is. That we never need to take for granted just the blessing of our health to be able to meet together in God's house. Because there's so many, so many that don't have that opportunity, that can't do that, and want to.
I asked prayer for my great-grandson, and he come through the surgery just fine, and he's doing a lot better.
Good to hear this. Good to hear this good report. Someone else this morning. If not, let's continue to remember our lost. Remember the revival efforts. I think McFerrin's revival is going to be starting tonight. And I'm not for sure about the time and as into what. I don't know if the church wants to dismiss tonight and go to support that effort. I don't know, just whatever the church's will is, whatever they want to do. But let's remember that effort. And remember me today as I try to stand.
Hi.
Nothing else to be said or done. Brother Jimmy, would you lead us in prayer? Our kind and gracious, most loving and merciful Heavenly Father God, as we bow down before you, Lord, this morning, Lord, we just humbly bow, Lord, and thanks, dear God, for this day that you've blessed us. This and other blessed opportunity that you've been given to meet before you, Lord. Lord, that we just might be able in some way to give you honor, Lord. In some way that we might be able to lift your name, dear Lord. And you be glorified, dear Lord. We pray. Lord, we'd ask, Lord, that you just meet with us this morning, Lord. There's so many things that's been mentioned this morning. Me, myself, Lord, even. I pray, dear God, for all those, Lord, for Brother Vanderpool and his wife, Lord. This great soldier, dear Lord, of the gospel. And who's helped me, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you be with me, Lord. Help her, dear God, and strengthen her, dear Lord, in this day. Lord, days of lives that's left, Lord, pray, dear Lord, that you would embrace and lift him up. Pray, dear Lord, that you be with Brother Brown. With peace, honor, with Brother White, dear Lord, each one, dear Lord. Cancer, Lord, that has affected their bodies, Lord, that you be with them all, dear God, to help them and heal them, dear Lord, in their sickness, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that you just be with them, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you be with the revivals that's going to be in progress, Lord, for each one, dear Lord, in their efforts, Lord. Just pray, Lord, for all of the people, dear God, of God, that they might be of one mind, one accord, dear Lord, that our hearts and our minds, dear God, would be focused, dear God, upon serving you, dear Lord, and looking to those, dear God, that might be lost, dear Lord, praying for their soul's salvation, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit, O Lord, would come and draw and convict those that are lost, that they would seek you, Lord, to be saved, is what we pray. Ask you, Lord, to just help us today, dear God, as we stand, dear Lord, and try. In our weak way, dear Lord, to present the gospel, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the service and each one that's here, Lord, their lives and their families, dear Lord, in this effort, that they would be blessed, Lord, is what we pray. We just give you thanks, God, for all that you do and for all your blessings. Forgive us, O Lord, our sins. In Jesus' name we humbly beg and pray.
Amen.
Two roll six. Thank you.
enjoyed the songs this morning, singing.
Brother Armstrong played some.
All right. Bless you. Bless you. Someone else this morning. I'm thankful, just like you, that I got a better place to go one of these days. That I do have not only a testimony of something that I said that comes out of my mouth that I'm going to heaven. I got an assurance in my heart. See, that's what counts. Without that assurance in your heart, without knowing that you've got a something that's going to allow you to be in heaven one day, then you just ain't got it at all. You just don't have it. I'm thankful this morning that I've got it, that I know I've got it, and that I can tell the world about it. So thankful this morning. Anything on anyone else's heart before we proceed? I'm going to look this morning. If the Lord's finished with everybody, I'm going to look in third chapter of the book of Galatians this morning for my thought. And I guess I'm continuing along with my thought from last week. I read out of the book of Daniel, and in this 27th verse it said, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He shall confirm his covenant, the he being Jesus, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." And I said 1 week, having reference to a years in time. I believe that 1 week or 1 day is referred to as 1 year, and those seven days or 1 week is a period of 7 years. And I want to turn over into the third chapter of the book of Galatians, and I want to look in this. This is Apostle Paul writing, and I'm going to read, I'm going to read the first 26 verses, so bear with me in the reading. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth,
crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that is, should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In the law then, again, against the promises of God, God forbid. Or is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which would have given life, verily righteousness should have been by law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that the faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I realize that was a lengthy reading. And the Apostle Paul here was speaking to the people of Galatia, and it seems as with what he was writing here that the people of Galatia had turned back to Judaism. They had turned back and they had turned away from what had actually saved their souls, and they was going back to the traditions of Judaism and the ways of looking back to their lineage of Abraham and trying to look back into their lives of their forefathers that they had lived and thinking that that was going to be good enough to get them to heaven. And I say he was presenting that to them here, that there was those that had been saved and yet they were turning back to some other way or going some other way. And he knew that the effects would be upon, no doubt, upon their families and those that after them if they continued going in the wrong direction. But I guess my main thing was this morning was that just to point out that The confirming of the covenant that I spoke of in the 27th chapter over in Daniel, that the fulfillment of that was in Jesus Christ. That fulfillment that was brought to this world was brought to us in a man, in Jesus Christ, and that even as we know today, even Apostle Paul was teaching the people at Galatia, you know, about the teaching of the law. We hear so much about the law, and you can look back over in the book of Exodus in the 20th chapter through about the 23rd chapter or whatever, and you can see through the law, the things that God set in place. But in this teaching that it said here, Paul was telling them that the law was basically, and summed it up, it was just a schoolmaster. It was to bring people to the understanding of their condition. You know, we try to teach the things of the Bible. We try to preach the gospel message and the things of the Bible. And all these things that was laid out by God and His Word, and these things of the law. I mean, we all know and read the Ten Commandments, and we've heard about these things that we should and should not do. But in this reading here, we find out very clearly that first of all, that we can't live the law. We can't live good enough or be a good enough person to get us to heaven. But that also that they would go into their lineage of being a Jew or as to also being a thing to get them to heaven. So it makes us think today and understand that it doesn't make any difference what we claim to be in our lives, what religion we claim to be, that we can't live the law, we can't do anything other than have faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ever expect to get to heaven. I mean, that's what Paul told them. No matter what you do, you're going to have faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not to turn back to these other ways. Jesus was the fulfillment of that covenant. And it was through the shedding of His blood. I said last week that in that week period of time, the three and a half years of Jesus while He ministered to people here on this earth in His ministry, and He's setting up His church, and the 3.5 years after His death up until the 10th chapter of the book of Acts where was spoke of in Peter spoke of in the 34th verse, saying, "I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons." That the Gentile people was ushered in, that apostles and everybody was supposed to preach to whosoever would believe. God is not a respecter of persons. Peter come to understand that. It's important that, you know, there's some people believe that only certain ones will go to heaven. Only certain denominations will go to heaven. Many people, there are those that think that only Missionary Baptist people, if you're not a member of a Missionary Baptist church, then you won't make it to heaven. Well, I'm a pastor of a Missionary Baptist church, and I disagree. I believe that if you've had faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and repented of your sins and to the saving of your soul, then you'll be in heaven one day. And I believe that's very important. We let denominational names get in the way many times of salvation. We let it hinder those that may be from another denomination and put up fences or gates against it. But it's just like the Apostle Paul said here. He was basically teaching that it was Christ that they had to believe in, that they had to trust Him, that salvation was by faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that that we need to teach people that there's not any work that they can do. These people were trying to go back to Judaism and live a life perfect enough and good enough that was going to get them to heaven. We all know that through and by the Scriptures that that's not so. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For it is by grace through faith that you are saved, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. There's nothing that any of us could have done through it short of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no denominational name that we can stick on it that's going to get us to heaven. It was all through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Over in the book of Hebrews, I would like to look there for a little bit. I've got over in the 6th chapter of the book, or 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, starting in verse 6. It says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." So the old covenant, the Old Testament, that the Jewish people were holding on to, the law. Basically, this is saying that if it would have been good enough to get people to heaven, if people could have lived a good enough life, if they could have done everything that they needed to according to following the laws and being just a good person and living a good life and that get them to heaven, then there would have been no need for the other one to come. For us in the second coming, for Jesus to come. If everything would have been fine and in order the first way, then Christ would have never come and died on the cross to pay the sin debt for us that we could not pay for ourselves. If we could have been a good enough people, if it would have been possible for us to be saved short of the death of Christ, then it wouldn't have happened. But it wasn't possible. For if the first covenant had been found faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, "Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Put their laws in their mind and in their hearts. See, I don't know about y'all, but I take pride on having a heartfelt understanding of what the Lord has done for me. I take pride in that, and I know because of what I feel in my heart and what I know is the Lord has done for me. It gives me an understanding of His Word that I have eyes to be able to see and understand the spiritual things that is written in God's Word. Without it, there's so many people that are blinded to the truth, just because they haven't been saved. The Lord is going to put these things in their heart. It was one of His things about over in the 2 Corinthians. We can see in 3:3, I believe it says, "For as much as ye manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on the fleshly tables of the heart." See, that's where we're different from the world. There's a lot of the world today, and there's this big name preacher that I heard on the radio was coming in town this weekend, and he's one of these that you know, probably if we were there would be thousands of people there to go hear him today. I don't know if he's preaching today or not, but I know that he was going to be in town. And I'd say many of you know who I'm speaking of, but you know, this do good and feel good preaching that's presented to the world is not going to get people to heaven. This health, wealth, and prosperity preaching that just live a good life and God will bless you and just give me a lot of your money and the Lord will bless you, and that is not going to get people to heaven. And there's a world of people that is sucked up into that, and they're believing that through and by the works, their works, what they think they can accomplish in this life, just walk through here blindly and thinking, I'm a good enough person, and I went to church. You know, I went to church, I listened to some big name preachers, there was thousands of people there. Well, I must be going to heaven. No. Salvation is personal. It's internal and it's spiritual. And that's the way the Holy Spirit of God works in us. And I believe that those preachers that are just preaching health, wealth, and prosperity are leaving out the work of the Holy Spirit. They're leaving out a part of God. And I believe God is not a part of it. I believe the God of this world is a part of it. But I don't believe it's a God that I serve, that's sitting, as my reading says, as a mediator, sitting at the right hand, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession between God and man for those that would seek Him, for those that would have faith in Him, and those that would trust in Him and believe in Him for the saving of their souls. That is the Lord in Christ that I preach, that I present to this lost and dying world. Those that claim that, you know, there are those that believe there's not a hell. There are those that believe that, I don't know what they believe. But it's sad. It is truly sad. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and we'll read a little more. 11th verse, it says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we have been called to a promise of an eternal inheritance. The promise of an eternal inheritance. I don't know what kind of promises many of those other preachers make, but I'll promise you this, that if you haven't repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus to the saving of your soul, that you'll never see that eternal promise. You'll never see that inheritance. You'll never see heaven. You won't do it. You won't. All these vain promises, all these things of false religion, false salvation, it worries me. It scares me. It bothers me to the very depths of my soul to to think people are being deceived, that they can just repeat a prayer or just be baptized or just be sprinkled or just be in some particular kind of church and they think it's going to be good enough to get them to heaven. It just kills me to think that those that have heard the gospel, still many of them refuse to listen and refuse to hear. I know one thing. The Lord will present His gospel, and it's your obligation to react. You can turn to it or you can turn away from it. I believe that there are those that are covered by the blood and by the grace of Christ, those that are infants, those that are young or too young to have an understanding of what's right and wrong, those that that don't have the mental capacity to understand right and wrong. I believe that they are covered under the blood and that that they'll be in heaven also. But I believe that each and every one that has come to the understanding in life to know good from evil, as the Bible says, right and wrong, you come to know and understand that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, that the Holy Spirit of God will deal with you. He will convict you. He will show you that you're lost. And when you come to the understanding that you're separated from God, that you're lost and doomed for a devil's hell, then it's your responsibility, your obligation to seek an Almighty God that can save your soul. That's the only way. And you seek Him until you find Him. That's the way I got it. And that's the way most of you that I've heard of your testimonies, you got it the same way I did. You sought the Lord until you found Him. You didn't ask Him to come into your heart. You prayed that He would save your soul. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed until you got an answer. Till you got a confirmation, an understanding of knowing that you know that the Lord had saved your soul. Until you get that understanding, until you get that confirmation, till you know that you know that you know that you don't have it. Because we serve a big God. I know there have been those that gets mixed up at times, that don't know exactly. I was a young boy and I knew the very moment the Lord saved my soul, but the devil came on the scene and he allowed me to go for a period of time and keep seeking the Lord. But the Lord kept taking me back to that spot. He kept showing me what He did for me right there, and that at that spot that where He saved my soul, that was all I was going to get. Didn't need no more. It's going to be enough. I had that assurance and that promise of eternal life. And I got it when I was a young boy on an old farmer's bench, called out to God to save myself. That's the way everybody's going to get it. They're going to repent and they're going to trust and they're going to have faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He did in dying on that cross for their sins. And the Lord's going to look down at their heart. He's going to see if their heart's true. He's going to see if their heart is right. And if it's not, He's not going to save you. That's the reason I have no confidence in these people that say, repeat this prayer. I know there's been those that have been saved just as soon as they went to the altar. But their heart was right, and that's the reason they got saved as soon as they went. You got to get your heart right before God before He'll save your soul. I got to the point, I did everything in the world, and I finally got to the point where I just give it up, turned it all over to the Lord, and said, there ain't nothing I can do, Lord. I just got to turn it over to you. What I did is save my soul right there. I'm so thankful for that. See, there wasn't nothing. There was no part in it that I played that saved my soul. The Lord did it all. He convicted me. He showed me I was lost. He brought me to the point that I needed to be, that I could trust in Him. And He gave me the faith. And He gave me the repentance. And He saved my soul. Hallelujah. Jesus confirmed that new covenant. When He died, that veil of that temple was rent and torn. There was no more animal sacrifices, no more shedding of an animal's blood to the high priest to go into the holies of holies to make a sin offering for the people. From that point on, from that point that veil was rent and torn at the death of Christ, that meant that it was personal, that you went to Him for salvation. Nobody else could do it for you. So if anybody else thinks that a preacher could get you to heaven, that he can mediate for you to get you to heaven, well, you're wrong. It's personal. It's internal and it's spiritual. God deals with us one-on-one. He speaks to our heart. He lets us know. And He lets us feel it. I'm thankful that I serve a God today that's in control. He's in control. See, I can watch a lot of these other shows on TV, and I can see who's in control. I can see who's in control of their ministries. I can see who's in control of their preaching. And it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. I'm thankful I serve a Lord that's in control. He's in control of His. He's the head of His church, and He dictates through His Spirit what we should do. And if we as God's people are doing that, then the Lord is pleased with us. I want to have an altar call. I want Brother Bert, if you just have a song, and if there's anybody here today and lost, I want to give you the opportunity to seek God. Jesus come and died on the cross for your sins. And it's a personal thing between you and God when you get saved. You got to seek Him that you might be saved. You got to pray to Him. You got to ask Him. I'm giving you that opportunity this morning. Brother Bert could have a song. If you're here today and lost, know that you need to seek the Lord. Take this time and opportunity to seek God that you might be found.
Number 114, sing the first and last verse. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. Listen to His voice. Leave with Him your care and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross.
Trust only in His love.
appreciate everyone that's come this way today. We need to be a people that when we gather in the Lord's house, that we come in with the expectation that souls can be saved every time we meet together. That if the Lord will meet with us and that we'll do our part, then lost souls can be saved. Far too many times, I'm afraid, we get into this traditional stigma that souls can only be saved during revival time. And we got that mindset. But it doesn't work that way. Lord will save when anybody seeks Him and repents of their heart. Whatever day it might be, it don't make any difference. And it ain't got to be here today. It could be many people been saved on their way home from church. Many people have been saved at night on their bed. You know, whenever that person gets their heart right before God, Lord will save their soul. And I'm thankful for that. Word on anyone's heart. Appreciate this. Someone else this morning. Let's be in prayer for, you know, there's a lot of things that I mentioned today. Let's be in prayer about these things. There's testimony or things that's been mentioned. Different ones sick, got cancer. Let's continue to lift them up in prayer as we remember these things as we go out through this week. You know, we can pray, and while we go about our everyday chores and our everyday life, we can still talk to the Lord and intercede for these that are sick and for those that are lost and for the situations that's going on. You know, I was thinking about, you know, I haven't mentioned, you know, what a great disaster went on in Japan. So many people have been affected. So many people have been affected. We need to pray for that people. We need to pray for them. And, you know, because there's so much destruction and misery that's going on over there right now. And we're set pretty good from my point of view. So let's pray for them. Anything else on anyone's heart?
Brother Arbor, did I understand you to say that Brother Bryce is preaching this Friday night during this minister school?
No, he's preaching this Friday night. Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Hendersonville is having a revival.
Okay, but it's during the same. I'm just saying.
It'll be Friday night. Yeah. Okay. It'll be Friday night after Old Union. Yeah.
Friday.
Well, it'll be over about midday on Friday. It's normally over by noon on Friday. Yeah, Brother Duncan, which is Brother Brown's father-in-law, is in Hendersonville with Alzheimer's, and I think he's just from what he was telling me, that he's just really, really in bad shape now. So let's remember him too. I mean, so many.
All other health preachers.
Yeah. So many. Anything else?
Remember the young preachers too. They need prayers too. Young preachers.
Yeah. Yeah. They got their hands full.
Are we dismissing?
That's what I was going to say. Does the church want to dismiss tonight? And McFerrin's revival starting tonight. And I'm sorry, I don't know the time. I don't know if it's starting at 6. Okay. Brother Burke thinks it's 6. But I'm not for sure of that, so I'm not going to say that. I'm going to blame Brother Burke if it's wrong.
I'm not sure either.
Okay.
But
their revival is starting tonight. if the church would like to dismiss or and go and support them. Is there any thoughts or words on that? Don't everybody speak at once. So yes, no, maybe? Yes? Okay. All right. I guess we'll be dismissing tonight. Going to McFerrin to support them in their revival efforts. Anything else on anyone's heart? If not, Brother Terry Parker, would you dismiss us for a word of prayer?
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing us this way today. We thank you, Lord, for the message of truth that we've heard. Lord, we'd ask you to take it to the hearts of those that are lost, that they might come under conviction and seek the salvation of their soul. We'd ask you, Lord, to hear the prayer request that's been made, many prayer requests, Lord, that you might deal with those individual cases. We'd ask you, Lord, to forgive us our sins and to be with us throughout this week, to give us guidance and to draw us near to you. We'd ask you, Lord, to be with all the preachers as they try to stand. Watch over us, Lord, until we meet again. These favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Do what?